Hello and welcome to this episode of the Sunday Times Politics Weekly. I'm Lizega Tandwa, Digital Politics Editor at the Sunday Times. In this edition, I speak to ANC Veterans League President Snooki Zikalala. Have a listen.
Don't start trouble. Nobody's going to announce tomorrow. The results are not correct. If that happens, people will be provoking.
You're dealing with Jacob Zuma. Every stage is a theater for him.
Floyd will be a minister of finance if they agree, these people, because
the EFF and ANC could still come together, possibly not if they make sure Floyd Chivambu, the minister of finance, as we have heard that demand.
If you come to us with a demand that Ramaphosa must step down as a president, that is not going to happen.
The broader question is whether our foreign policy has completely lost its way.
The people of Palestine, they're denied the right to enjoy the freedoms we so love.
That is a no-go area.
Good afternoon, Dato Snooki. Thank you so much for joining us here at Sunday Times.
Good afternoon, Lizega,
Dato Snooki, when I think of veterans, I think of the institutional memory of this organization, of this building that we're in right now. I think of, for instance, the wisdom that comes with this, the veterans bestowing to the next generation. And when I think of the veterans, and perhaps I think we need to go back down memory lane and start with when the chairperson's role was created, when Dadu or Oliver Tambo took up that position. For me, and maybe you could correct me on this, for me, it was in a way signaling that the veterans had a very significant role to play in the future of the organization. Why was that role created, according to you?
Well, I think the Veterans League was created, firstly, officially and constitutionally in 2009. It is then that it was under the former President Zuma, saying that let's mobilize all the veterans in the nine provinces and create their own special structure. Then they are part and parcel of the constitution of the ANC, like the Women's League and the Youth League and the Veterans League. And it is made clear in our constitution that you have to be 60 years of age and you have to have 40 years of uninterrupted service in the ANC, And it does that in 2009. Of course, the constitution makes it very clear that we have the power to intervene on all issues that affect the integrity and dignity of the organization. We have the power to intervene on all those issues that are accepted. Because, of course, the ANC, it has veered off track, and it was important that you should have elders who don't have any ambitions of vying for senior positions in government. We don't want to occupy senior positions in government, but we are there to serve society and serve the organization itself, to make sure that its values, its principles, and its traditions are being adhered to. And so that is why we're here. I would say that from 2009 and to 2017, it was moribund, completely moribund, in a sense that people were in the leadership, where people were selected. It's, you know, don't undermine Zuma. He knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He'll create a structure, but that structure must be obedient to him. And so he made sure that the leadership that is there was there, fell under his spell. And then 2017, we went to a conference. I was elected as a president, but the remaining leadership below me, the remaining people who were aligned to him, was divided into two. And it was very difficult to operate the Veterans League. The structures were there, but they were dysfunctional, completely dysfunctional in the nine provinces. People were just called when there are functions. People were just called when they were asked to take a position on a certain issue. And so it was really dysfunctional. It was until in 2023, last year, when we went to a conference. When we went to a conference in the Veterans League, a new leadership was elected. This new leadership now, these are people who majority of them, who said to Zuma, "Zuma, not in our name," who were part and parcel of the stalwarts, of veterans, who tried their level best to intervene during the time of Zuma, but Zuma had a tactic of pushing them out. But we then mobilize all those comrades, all those who are prepared to be part and parcel of the ANC and part and parcel of transforming the organization and renewing it. And so it was only last year that a critical and credible leadership was elected. Then it became a force to be reckoned with. And so I think we play a major, major role in the African National Congress, a major, major role. We influence the direction of the party. We make sure that we hold our leadership to account, which is important. We do have regular meetings with the president, and if there's something that is going wrong, we had regular meetings with the Secretary General if we feel that he's veering off track. And so those are the people that we interact with quite consistently. And of course, we are part and parcel of, we are members of the NWC. I sit in the National Working Committee, which is a committee that administers the life of the ANC. And together with the Secretary General, we sit in the NEC of the ANC. And so, as you know, the ANC is the highest decision-making body in between conferences. It's where decisions have been taken. And so we have to be there to influence the direction and make sure that members don't veer off track. And of course, we are not bossy about it. And we are much more collegial, camaraderie. We are comrades, but we make sure that our values, our traditions, and our principles are not being trampled upon by anybody. Because the ANC is the only organization that we have in our lifetime. It's the only organization that will ensure that it serves the majority of our people. It's the only organization that can bring transformation in the country. It's the only organization that can bring about economic growth in the country. It's the only organization that can unite South African society. And so we as veterans, we find that that is our responsibility within the African National Congress. And secondly, is that when it comes to discipline and integrity, we are the ones who are leading the disciplinary committees of the ANC. Within the disciplinary committee, there are 6 members of the disciplinary committee who are members of the Veterans League, and 4 of them are members of the NDC. The same thing with the Integrity Commission. All Integrity Commission members are members of the Veterans League, because integrity of the organization is very, very important for us. Integrity, immediately, if that integrity is dented, to gain trust of society back, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. And so we are saying that the integrity of the organization must not be compromised at all, at all levels. It doesn't matter who it is.
You've steered me away from my original question, because I wanted to first start to ask that about, you know, the creation of the chairperson's role in the top 7 of the ANC,
yeah,
which was assumed by Oliver Tambo. And perhaps let's go there first.
Yeah.
And before we get to, because there's quite a number of points that I want to touch on in what you've just said, but perhaps let's go there first. That position was seen as, and correct me if I'm wrong, seen as an overseeing role, monitoring and evaluation as of some sorts in the ANC. So therefore, an elder leader of the party, someone with institutional memory within the party, would need to assume it. Do you think that maybe veering away from that has assisted in a small part to where the ANC has gone?
Well, I think the chairmanship itself, as you know, it was created specifically for O.R. Tambo. Mm. So that he must lead the organization, because he led the organization since 1961 until we came back home, and he brought it intact, and he brought us to where we are, and he made sure that we have this constitutional democracy that we have. He played a major role under difficult circumstances. Some of us were under his leadership in exile, and so that role was created for him. But immediately when he passed on, then it was then said the chairperson should be a member of the top 7.
Okay.
And so now the chairperson is a member of the top 7. Now, before it was the top 5, it was created for him. But there are comrades who are saying that role of the chairmanship is still needed. Mm-hmm. But Comrade Gwede Mantashe does not have the same stature as Oliver Tambo. Mm-hmm. And you have to look for a senior person in the organization who will not be a minister, but will be the chairperson, will guide the NEC. And so that was the role that was set. We must guide the ANC and the NEC itself and make sure that it is on track with our values, traditions, and principles. And so immediately when it passed on, I think we veered off that. But there are comrades who are saying they still need that chairmanship position, which the constitution must then address it. It can only happen at conference. And so that is why, but at the same time, the Veterans League now is being established. It was established in 2009. And the role that it's playing now, it's very, very important. It's not to chair an NEC, but it's to influence policy itself and to make sure that our policies are being implemented by the organization, and to make sure that we guard against malfeasance, we guard against the integrity of the organization, must protect the integrity and dignity of the organization. That is why our members are members of the Integrity Commission.
You know, there was a point where I think it was proposed by the Veterans League, one person, one vote. Mm. And it's been discarded, and it's a conversation that really has not really materialized into anything when it comes to conferences of the ANC. Mm. But slowly but surely, I think people are becoming aware of we talk about this conscientization of ANC members, and that you don't necessarily need an ANC that is 1 million members.
No.
Was that what you were thinking with this one person, one vote? What was the idea around?
The idea of it is one person, one vote is that if a person has been voted to go to a conference, he does not go there representing himself. He cannot change the resolution of a branch. He must make sure that he stick to the mandate that he has of the branch. But currently, people get elected, they go to conferences. At conferences, they get swayed. And then they then change the mandate of a branch. For instance, you can take Comrade Matabate. This branch in Mpopo said, you must go with the CR. But when he arrived at the conference, he changed. And so now, one man, one vote, it will make sure that one person and one vote itself, when he's there, he's not representing himself, but he's representing the collective. But the other structures, of course, I had in Britain, because they are looking at the constituency system, but they are also thinking of and also it's one man, one vote. They are thinking of discussing one man, one vote, going into what we have, the PR system. And so all these modalities must be looked at properly and carefully to say which one works for us best. But the one man, one vote was that if I'm going there, I must know that I'm going to represent my constituency. I cannot be influenced by any other person to say this is a line that I must take. And so that was the thinking on about it.
It goes back to the decay of membership in terms of how money has become such an important role in conferences. I will ask you, Dada, about 2017, mm-hmm. your opinion about 2017, where there was talk of millions, even billions, exchanging hands between persons between individual comrades in the ANC and even branches and so forth. Do you at all hold the president accountable for that?
Well, isn't it? I've not seen those billions. I've not seen those monies changing hands. Mm. Personally. And we always say, as veterans, whoever has seen those monies, those billions, money exchanging hands at conferences, let them report it to us as veterans. We'll take action against that. Because we won't allow a conference that is bought with money. As you know, that I think there was a case and the president, CR, was cleared on those monies. And so also people are saying, there were allegations that this last conference in 2022, money exchanged hands. But we have not seen it as veterans. I've never been bought by anybody. Neither have veterans who work with me, who are part and parcel of the executive, been bought by anybody. I'll make it very clear. Whoever has that information, can you put it on the table? Mm. That sort of, that the veterans were bought by CR, veterans were bought by Balula, veterans were bought. Let him put it on the table. And we won't allow that to happen, because we'll be destroying the organization itself. We can't get into that. But people talk about it, but you say, bring evidence so that we can be able to deal with it. No one has brought evidence to us, and we want that evidence.
Okay. I want to talk about the responsibility of the Integrity Committee.
Which is called the Integrity Commission. Yeah.
The Integrity Commission, sorry, which is part and parcel of the veterans. It's part of
the members. You've
said that your members are in the actual Integrity Commission. Some have said that it's toothless. Some have said that in fact, some of the members have said that they've got an inability to perform their duties because funding, for instance, resources, they can't really investigate. They don't have the capacity to investigate. And we are talking about people who are of a certain age, who have, served the party, and should be retiring at this stage. And yet they have these blockages that they have to face. What needs to happen for the Integrity Commission to be more able to perform its duties in the ANC?
Well, we had a meeting with the SG about 2 weeks ago about the Integrity Commission itself, because we are saying that the Integrity Commission's report was supposed to have been delivered to the NEC, because the Integrity Commission, when it is done with these cases, it must give the report to the SG to present for adoption by the NEC. And so these reports, it's not to say we have to investigate really deeper to what the person has done. But if a person has put the organization into disrepute, what is there to investigate? And so it's for you to say, look, this is what you've done in the public eye. This is how you've dented the image and the dignity of the organization. These are the sanctions that were. They found you wanting. Once they found you wanting, then you have to be taken to a disciplinary action. That's what they do. And so we are saying that in terms of resources to investigate, in terms of resources to hire scribes, we've discussed that with the SG. The SG said, look, they are looking into it. But they've been looking into it for the past 10 years since it was established. But we believe that you need to resource it. There is decisions must be adhered to by the NEC. But now, currently, we have not yet received a report from the Integrity Commission, which was presented to the Secretary General. The Secretary General promised us at the last NEC that the coming NEC, a special NEC, where it will look at, there'll be a deep dive looking at what happened at the VD level, that the voting district, what happened at the branch level, what happened at provincial level, in terms of organizational structures. They are very weak. And so there'll be a deep dive to see what happened, because if you don't deal at VD level, where members of the ANC are, who are these members? Are they real committed, dedicated cadres of the movement? Why was such a low voter turnout, which you promised that it will be higher? It was low voter turnout. And so we went to find out. And then he promised us that there'll be a deep dive. That's what you said when we were at this 6-day Lokhotla. We want a deep dive to find out about the structures of the ANC. Because if you don't have proper, credible structures of the ANC, you won't be able to transform the organization. Won't be able to run the organization properly and efficiently. That is why we as veterans, we believe in a strict party and a party that has discipline. And so that's what we want to see. And so he promised us that the Integrity Commission's report will also be presented, because it was not presented. And of course, the chairperson has been complaining about it, that they don't have any cases, pending cases with them. All the cases that they have, they've submitted them to the SG. The SG just supposed to present them to the NEC, which we're waiting for the SG to do that.
It's deja vu for me, because this is the same problem that George Mashamba was complaining about, that he would submit reports to the SG at the time, which was S. Mahashule, and those reports would not trickle down to the NEC to a point where I believe that he started CCing NEC members, which is why there were some leakages, for instance. So then it goes to show that there is no capability to learn by that particular office. Mm. Can we not now lay it at the center of the Secretary General's office, the blame for the fact that the integrity committee is unable to do its work properly because it's under-resourced, and that office is as well as the TG's office is supposed to ensure that it does have the proper resources. It hasn't done it for the past 10 years, like you've said, that. And the reality is that whenever they do perform their duties, those reports gather dust in a certain office.
Well, it's the SG's office and the top seven.
Mm.
Because the top seven that has to make sure that this happens. Because at the last NEC meeting before we went to elections, the Integrity Commission's report was given to us. It was supposed to be debated. All of a sudden, it was withdrawn. But the SG, we asked him, what? He said, no. They said, I must withdraw it. And then we were surprised, because as NEC members, we were surprised. But in that meeting, the subsequent meeting, the top seven came to us and said, there are two comrades who were found wanting by the Integrity Commission. And those comrades must not be on the list going to Parliament. And then they said to us, other two comrades who were instructed to go to the Integrity Commission by the NEC, they did not go to the Integrity Commission. They also must not be on the list. They must face a DC. The top seven proposed that to the meeting, to the NEC. We as veterans supported that. But majority of the NEC members said, look, we cannot say they must go, they must be withdrawn from the list without due process. Mm. They must go through a disciplinary action. There must be disciplinary action taken against them. And then, of course, we then agreed. After that, we went to the SG. We agreed that Bob Mavuso and Comrade Meg Maharaj want them to be part and parcel of the DC. That will look into state capture itself. And the SG agreed that they will. But I think we're overtaken by events.
Oh, is it just events? I think it's going to be events until 2029.
We're overtaken by events.
That is the problem, yeah. Isn't it? Is that there's consistently something that is happening.
Yeah. But no, the SG has promised us. Even today, I listened to what you are saying. You promised us that those who are involved in state capture action will be taken. He said so at the press conference. Because we had a discussion with him. And he told him that we're angry. That he promised us that these people will not be on the list. And some of them were on the list. And some of them are still in Parliament. And we are saying that they must be withdrawn.
Does that include the members of the top seven?
No. It does not include members of the top seven.
Okay. Why does it not? They
were not on the list. Members of the top seven.
No, the top seven of the AIDS, not the veterans.
Yeah, the top seven, yes.
There's ministers within the top seven.
There are ministers, but it does not include. It will include, I'll mention to you when we're offline.
Okay.
Yeah. In these four members who are in Parliament now, there are three, there are four, one of them is...
Yes, it's Zizi Kodwa, I believe it's Frolic, Mr. Frolic. I know the names. What I'm saying is that when you came, because you did introduce the matter of state capture.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is there were individuals who were implicated in state capture. Mm. Yes, the chairperson of the ANC has taken the report on review. But then equally, the DSG of the ANC was found wanting in that she didn't even go to the Integrity Committee. Mm. She was supposed to go to the Disciplinary Committee. What does that say about the organization?
Yeah, that is why I want to find out in terms, because I understand she eventually went. I don't know.
Okay.
We want to see the report of the Integrity Commission, which will be definitely presented to us. And as you say, that the four comrades, it's Frolic, it's Zizi Kodwa, it's Mashobo, it's Moleski Gava.
Okay.
And so those four is the Integrity Commission that said, there is a top seven that came to us, said they must not be on the list. And then they supported the top seven. And what happened? And the NEC said, before you say they must not be on the list, there must be due process, because we believe in the rule of law. We said, fine. Then there was supposed to be due process. Comrade Mavuso and Comrade Meg Maharaj agreed that they will they will be part and parcel of those who assist the presenter of cases to make sure that this happens. But we've got overtaken by events.
I want to get to the... Firstly, let me finish off with the Integrity Committee. Given where you are right now as the ANC, you've lost your majority. Mm-hmm. And part of this is because society has seen the ANC and seen the decay of the ANC morally and ethically. And yes, the Integrity Committee has a role to play in terms of holding people accountable when it comes to morality and ethics. But there's been a lot of talk about whether its recommendations should be binding. And given where you are as the ANC and where society, how society views you, even your own president has said that ANC should be at the dock as accused number one. Shouldn't that commission be binding its recommendations?
No, I believe that as veterans. Their recommendation must be binding. If they're saying that these comrades are found wanting, they must face DC, it must happen. Because if you have put them, the name of the ANC into disrepute, definitely you must face action. And so we as veterans believe that their recommendations must be binding.
I want to talk about, because we veered off, but I wanted to talk about the influence, which is why I'm here, the influence of the veterans. That I remember, I think, even before the elections, the veterans were talking about an ANC-DA coalition should the need arise. What informed this analysis from the veterans?
No, all that we looked at, it was only two of us, it was myself and Colonel Navuso, were saying that you look at municipalities that were governed by the DA, they're not perfect, but there was order. There was order, and you said to yourself, and so if this party, the DA, it's a neoliberal, we make it better, it's a neoliberal party. But that neoliberal party that believes in our constitution, number one. For us, the constitution is sacrosanct. They believe in the rule of law. They believe in governance, ethical governance. Though in some of the municipalities, we understand there are unethical leaders of the DA. But we are saying that it would be better to form a coalition with them rather than to form a coalition with a party that does not believe in our constitutional values, that does not believe in the rule of law, that does not believe in clean governance, like the EFF, which does not. And so we're putting it on those bases. And we are saying that immediately if you sit down with them, you can be able to strike an agreement with them and say, on these issues because constitution is sacrosanct for us, we can sit and talk. And our people, the only thing that our people want is quality service. Because what made us to lose the elections is service delivery, nothing else. That's because we came in late. We did set up what you call local government intervention team, which myself and Comrade Meg Maharaj and Comrade Keith Mokwapi were part of. But we set it up very late, where we're looking at all municipalities, making sure that transformers have been bought, making sure that there's water is provision have been provided to society. But society says, but for 6 years I had no electricity. Why are you bringing a transformer now? You know? And then the same for 6 years I had no water. Why are you bringing the tanks, Georgia tanks now? And so they were right. We should have done that. And so we as veterans were saying that this committee must continue doing the same work. But, well, currently, as you know, that local government falls under Shabisa, who's a IFP, National...
Gata Freedom Party.
But we think that we can work with him to make sure that we provide quality service to our people, because that's all that our people don't want sewer on the roads, don't want to have pit latrines, don't want to have... they want to have water when they open the taps. Also, they want electricity. Those things can be done. Those are simple, basic things. But we, as the ANC, we failed our people. And secondly, our people are very angry with the ANC that people who were found wanting, and people involved in state capture, nothing was done with them. And so it's one of the things that made majority of the people not to go to the polls. 6.5 million people gave us gave us an opportunity to govern on their behalf. But 3.5 people who voted for us before, they stayed away. They stayed away. And then 1.5 or 1.2 million were taken by NK Party. But all that we are saying is that people are correct. But we got 40% of the votes out of 51%. And so we lost. We lost the elections, but there's no any other party that did better than ANC. But you can't pride ourselves by saying that we've lost, but we are walking with our nose up and we're arrogant. We can't do that. We have to humble ourselves. That is why when the issue of government of national unity came up, we supported it. We said we have no other alternative. We are the majority party, but you don't have majority in government. And when the DA and the IFP, National Inclusive Party, came in, we said, fine, let's go with them. We don't have any problem with that.
Were you looking at a coalition or a coalition between, a grand coalition, as they say, between the ANC and the DA? Or did you envision a government of national unity?
Well, initially, we were looking at the minority government.
Okay.
Initially, let's have a minority government. With the minority government, we are saying that we agree on set basic principles with the parties. For instance, we agree that the party that will come into an agreement with us will agree on passing the budget, will agree on us electing the president. And then the others will look at them, at those issues as
case by case.
But when the issue of GNU came in, it was, we said, fine, when you say it's a government of national unity, bring all political parties in the country, those who agree with our constitutional imperatives, let them come on board. Those who agree with our statement of intent, let them bring on board. We said, that's when the statement of intent was put together, we supported it. We supported the statement of intent because that's exactly what our people want. And so majority of those 10 parties support our statement of intent, which was, of course, devised by the African National Congress. And so we're happy that we're leading the GNU, and this GNU is led by the African National Congress. None of the 10 parties that are there disregard the constitution, disregard the rule of law, disregard clean and ethical governance of our state institutions or of local government.
When you talk about this relationship, because you touched on the fact that you have ongoing conversations with the president, I think you have him on speed dial. But in terms of the relationship you have as the veterans with President Cyril Ramaphosa versus the relationship you had with President Jacob Zuma, are there any similarities or parallels?
No relationship with Jacob. Mm. We had no relationship with Jacob. Immediately, when he left the court, remember he disappeared from the state capture hearing. We as veterans, that time, I was still a president, and the secretary general was Comrade Nadzo. We met. We said, this is unacceptable. The former head of state, there's an inquiry on state capture. He decided just to leave the court. We are saying that it's unacceptable. It shows a very bad example to the country. And then we said, let's go and meet with him and tell him that we as veterans don't agree with what he's done. And we wrote letters to him. We called him. He never responded. Mm. He never responded because he knew very well that veterans are not happy with his behavior. You can't behave like that being a former state president and being a member of the African National Congress.
Should he have been expelled a long time ago? Some have said.
Well, our view is that he should have. Immediately when he formed the MK Party, he should have been expelled. But as the ANC, we believe in the rule of law. We believe in processing disciplinary action against people. And so immediately if you have done something against the ANC, there must be a disciplinary action against you taken.
And now the relationship that you have with this president, mm-hmm. can you give us an understanding of the relationship and in terms of the influence that you have when it comes as the veterans, when it comes to either policy direction or the in terms of where the ANC is going structurally in the ANC as well, how has it changed from that president to this one?
Well, that president, as I'm saying, there was no structure. The organization was dysfunctional, was moribund. This one currently is that it is, actually we as veterans, we have a national executive committee which consists of 35 people. And there are two people per province who are members of the NEC. Before any decision is taken, an NEC of the Veterans League is called. We make sure that we call the NEC of the Veterans League. Even when we're going to discuss the GNU, we took it to the NEC of the Veterans League. Before any NEC meeting takes place, we convene an NEC of the Veterans League where I get a mandate from the NEC members. I'm saying, there's this NEC. I was at the National Working Committee, which sets the agenda. These are the issues that we're going to discuss. And this is what we propose we should take the line. And the NEC members then interact with us on those issues. Then they give a mandate. Mm. There's no NEC meeting that I've attended without a mandate from the NEC of the Veterans League. Mm. And so that's how we have the influence. Because when I stand up and say, I'm not representing my jacket, myself and the SG, I'm representing the views of veterans. Because we just had a virtual meeting yesterday. And these are the issues we said that must be discussed here. This is what we agree with. This is what we don't agree with. And then, of course, the NEC does respect our view. Because we are very positive. We're not destructive. We're there to make sure that we move on the right track with the organization.
Before I get to my last question that I just want to get to, the resignation of Mr. Bavuso.
Yeah.
Did you expect it? Was it something that you had been discussing? And when you received that letter, what was your reaction?
Well, the letter itself, I had not received it. He sent it straight to the SG.
Okay.
And then some journalists started calling me and saying that the deputy president of the Veterans League has resigned. I said, I know nothing about that, which is true. He then called me and said, no, he was going to send it to the top five of the Veterans League and let it be discussed. We are shocked. But of course, we do accept his frustrations because he felt that the ANC is not dealing harshly with those who are found wanting, with those who are involved in misdemeanors, with those who violate our constitutional values. And so he felt frustrated. But we then had a discussion with him. We said they're part and parcel of the Veterans League. You go to all the meetings when we have the meetings with the CR, and you know very well that we have meetings with the SG. This is what they promised. He said they promise, but they don't act. That's what frustrated him. Mm-hmm. And then he said, okay, can you kindly reverse your resignation? And then he agreed. And then, of course, he then withdrew his resignation. And it was on the basis that we deal harshly with those who are found wanting.
And you haven't, has he come back to you after retracting his resignation?
Yeah, but
only months later, when the Secretary General of the ANC promised in the statement where he was announcing his retraction, he said that all those implicated, he assured him that all those implicated in state capture will not form part of the list, and that didn't happen. What does he say now?
Well, he's still very angry, but he's part and parcel of us. We also have discussions with him. And so now he says, but this lot is not prepared to change the organization. He's not prepared to regain the trust deficit we have with society. And so I cannot be part of this. And so we said, but what else do you expect us to do? Then we raise these issues. For instance, all the issues that relate to the integrity and dignity of the organization, we raise them with the SG. And the SG, currently we had a thorough discussion with him. On Zizu Kotwa, he has taken action. On the other three, action will be taken against them. In the Integrity Commission, there will be a meeting of the NEC that will discuss the Integrity Commission's report on ensuring that those who are found wanting in state capture, it will happen. He has promised that. But you can't get everything at the same time. That's what you believe. But you have to keep on knocking and knocking. They must know very well. When they see you, they must run away.
So what the SG has promised you that is that he is, or at least the ANC NEC, will take action against the other three who were named in particular by the Integrity Committee.
You see, but those other three were named by the Integrity Commission. The only thing that needs to be done, and of which he has done, is to write a letter to the presenter. It's sort of a prosecutor to say, take action against these three people. The prosecutor must do it. And he has done. And he has shown us the letter. Because we asked him in the meeting, can you put the letter in place? Which he did. And he has put the letter in, he has written a letter to the three of them. Not to the three, but to the presenter to say, can you take action against these four people? And so we'll wait for the outcome. But at the same time, we'll keep on asking him.
I was about to say, I'll believe it when I see it.
We'll believe it when I see it. But there's nothing, we are doing our best. Mm. We're doing the best that we can. Because you can't, the problem with the ANC, you can't influence it if you're outside. You have to influence it when you're inside. And you must make sure that you also are principled. You also stick the values and the principles of the organization. You also are not a deviant person. So if they know your character, that this is the character of this man of the Veterans League, they won't be able to play with it. But it's not about us. It's about the organization and society. It's about regaining trust deficit that we have in society.
My last question, I know I keep saying my last question. My last question to you, Tata, it's around... I want to go back to what we initially talked about that chairperson position. And because I didn't really, as I'm thinking about it, I needed you to elaborate more, and I didn't ask you to elaborate more on, because you went where I was going in terms of why it was initially, it was created for that Oliver Tambo. And then after he left, it kind of became part of the ANC, on the organogram. Has it been something that you have discussed with the ANC, about looking at what that chairperson position should stand for in terms of that institutional memory? We're not trying to get you to say something against the current chairperson, but the actual office itself, what it should stand for in terms of overseeing and making sure that, you know, morality and so forth, overseeing those fundamentals of the ANC.
Well, some ANC members were saying that you should have what they call a council of elders. Mm-hmm. And now, if you have a council of elders, you are not part and parcel of the ANC structures. Mm. You're not you're not a foot soldier of the ANC. If you're a council of, you just counsel. You just counsel people. People, when you counsel people, it's either they take your advice or they don't take it. Mm. And we as veterans, we looked at it and said, no, we don't want to be a council of elders. Because if you're a council of elders, it means that intervene on all issues that affect the integrity and dignity of organization. They'll say, okay, I heard you. And then they do the other way. But now, if we intervene, as we have done, intervening with the SG, can you make sure that these four are prosecuted? We're intervening directly. And so you can't say no to us. No, you're right. Because we're not malicious. We don't hate those comrades. We don't hate them. But we're saying they should not have done it. If you want to steal, you don't have to belong to the ANC. If you're not honest as a politician, don't enter the terrain of politics. Politics needs honest people. If you're dishonest, that's a problem. And so all that we're saying, we just want to make sure that people are dishonest, people who have malicious intent of stealing the public's funds must be dealt with harshly. That is why the renewal program that we're putting together, we are running the renewal agenda of the African National Congress. We are saying that in all the branches, initially, there's a talk that everybody must resign, people must apply afresh, but now, and they must be vetted. But who will vet who? Now, all that you are saying as veterans is that once you go into a branch, you can start with the branch. And say, comrades, it's a tap to renew our membership because you have to renew every year. And then if you renew it in your profile, can you say whether you have been criminally charged? Can you agree that you should go and get a police clearance? When to put that? And if you don't bring a police clearance, why should you become a member of the ANC? Because we want to find out, do you have a criminal record in terms of gender-based violence, in terms of stealing from the public, in terms of being involved in violence? We don't want such characters. The ANC has been hijacked by such characters. And so in order to do that, you have to start at your VD level, a voting district level, to clean the ANC from there. You can't clean it from the top, yes. But clean it from the bottom. That bottom is the one that elects the leaders that we have. And so we must cleanse it from the bottom. That's what we are proposing, veterans. Now that when people are renewing their membership, there must be a political education of every member. We as veterans already drafted a document of political education. Some of the political education, it will be a political education done by Oliver Tambo School of Leadership, where you sit for exams. Ours, it could be political education where you don't sit for exams. People are being taught the history of the ANC, Freedom Charter, where we come from, the constitution of the country, and our values of the ANC, and the constitution itself, so that people understand this organization. And so that it's accessible to everybody. And so that's a political education that we want to have amongst our people.
As my parting shot, clarify one thing for me, Dada. You've said this, that the Veterans League are members of the ANC that do not want positions, that do not seek positions. Mm-hmm. And yet, I did hear that the veterans were advocating for some of their members to go to parliament. Is that true?
No. You see, what we're saying is that the branches are the ones who said when their members should go to parliament. Parliament is also one terrain of struggle. Mm. It's a terrain of struggle. We have three veterans who are there. It's where you also guide veterans, people in parliament, when in parliament. You had, for instance, like Umam Ritanzanga, who was a veteran. You heard about Umam Ritanzanga. Mm. Yeah. And so a lot of young parliamentarians who are there in parliament said, oh, you know, Mdala, at least you can behave. You can listen. They've got wisdom. They say, no, you can't do this. And so you need that in parliament. You need that in the legislature as well. And so there's nothing wrong with that. As long as your branch has said, go to parliament. It must come from your branch. We don't disagree with that. And as long as your branch says you can be an ambassador, we don't disagree with that. And so it's all that you're saying, we can't say that we are all obsolete. You know, we can't do anything. But if veterans are still fit to serve society and serve the organization, why not?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, that's all we have in this installment of the podcast. Please make sure to check our sister podcast, the Chisa podcast for entertainment news, 30 Years of Democracy, and Gogo, Have I Been Scammed? Thank you for listening. I'm Lizega Tandwa, digital politics editor at Sunday Times. Goodbye.